Welcome to the Chase Down Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Rowan, coming to you on a Canadian Thanksgiving. Shout out to all our Canadian listeners. The Cleveland Cavaliers get their first lesson of the season, or at least of the preseason. Learning opportunities all around here. Colin Sexton, do you bounce back from a great game? What happens? He regressed after a great second game against the Celtics. Struggled with Darren Collison. Jetty Osman doesn't play a few minutes. Kyle Korver goes bananas. And Sam Dekker played minutes, which is still... I wasn't able to watch the game as a result of Thanksgiving.
Too busy with your Canadian national pride.
Yeah.
I was too busy with that. Also, you still haven't
introduced me. I was going to, but then I actually was. I was thinking about it as you cut in.
That was a Bill Simmons podcast level intro. I think you were going for a cool minute and a half.
I like to dominate the possession. That's all.
Why don't
all
you
I can
tell
say.
Me about Pearl Jam?
And that sarcastic tone is my co-host Carter Rodriguez. Carter, how's it going, buddy?
Doing good. I just watched a dog shit game of basketball. Wish I'd eaten really good food. Now, I have an important question with regards to Canadian Thanksgiving, because I think everyone's first reaction is just to make fun of it, and then as we did before we started recording, you said that it actually makes more sense than American Thanksgiving, which it does. But I have an important question. Do you eat like different foods than Americans at Thanksgiving?
Probably.
Is it still turkey and...
Yeah, so we had turkey. We had some wild rice thrown in there. I don't know if you've had wild rice, but it's great. We had regular rice as well. Ham was in there. Turnip, mashed potatoes. My wife made... pumpkin pie cheesecake that was really good. And I love
pumpkin pie cheesecake. I actually prefer pumpkin pie cheesecake to pumpkin pie.
I do as well. I'm
just
very
pumpkin
bloated.
Cheesecake. Why are we calling it pumpkin pie cheesecake? I don't know. I don't want to talk about it. Don't challenge me. We're both really tired. But we're gonna soldier on for you people.
Oh, absolutely.
What is your hold on, I just lost my train of thought. Not a good start, Justin.
Ain't gonna do it.
Okay, let's just talk about the game. Let's talk about the game. It's fine. Keep it. We're not cutting any of this. So I had a mean-spirited realization while I watched Sam Dekker flop around for 32 minutes, pulling in one rebound and shooting 3 of 12 from the field. And you know what that realization is, Justin?
That's what it'd be like to watch Al Horford in the playoffs play for your team?
Funny, but no. This is a meaner thought because it's legitimate. I thought, that's no worse than what Jay Crowder gave the Cavs the first half of the season.
Did he look as depressed as Crowder did during the first half of the season?
No, but he looked just as uncoordinated. So, you know, eye for an eye, I guess.
Yeah, so it kind of evened out.
Yeah, it was, I really came to realize, because I was just sitting there thinking, like, God damn it, can Dekker get off the floor? It's like, I hate watching this guy. And I'm like, oh, that's just Jay Crowder. I'm just going to look at him through that lens the rest of the year.
That's a pretty depressing lens to put him through there, but I don't know if that's too inaccurate. Like, obviously...
Jay Crowder is among my least favorite players I've ever watched play basketball for the Cavs.
He's up there with Luol Deng, in my opinion. Like, Deng was miserable. He was snitching on the team to reporters and stuff and just selling all dysfunction. That was an ugly, ugly period. But correct me if I'm wrong. It's preseason, so there's never a lot of takeaways that you can really have. But with Jetty Osman not playing a lot of minutes in this game, Rodney Hood out, Kevin Love out, this is kind of what we were talking about when we said how good Colin Sexton is really going to be dependent on the help that he has around him. He needs to have consistent shooting around him. He needs to have competent players if he's going to have a strong start to the season or a strong season in general.
Yeah. It's funny. Mike from our Discord chat and wit me on Twitter. If you want in the Discord chat, leave a review and send us an email. We'll get you in. Mike was at the game. He had really good seats. And I always like the takeaways you get from people who go to the games. Like, mm-hmm. I just do think like you get a different perspective in person. and he just kind of talked about how Colin Sexton wasn't like really ready to handle like NBA level physicality at the point of attack yet.
Right.
Like Darren Collison, and he's right. Darren Collison definitely like was hand checking him a little bit, was kind of getting up in his grill, challenging his handle. And that's kind of what the Pacers do on defense anyway, right? Like,
yeah, they do play a very good,
could barely get across half court in the playoffs last year. And Sexton was bad in this game. He went 1 of 7 from the field, had a couple decent assists, but also got ripped a couple times. Kind of failed to make an impact in his 22 minutes. And like, this is the kind of game where you wanted to see Colin Sexton play well. Like,
right.
It's like every other primary shot generator on the team isn't playing outside of George Hill. And you kind of wanted to see Sexton play aggressive, and it just didn't really happen. And, you know, I think I left this preseason game, one, thinking, man, I got to get a better hobby.
Mm-hmm.
But two, and I think that one a lot, so that makes sense. But two, I kind of came to realize, like, okay, we saw what the worst case scenario looks like. Like, this is, you know, maybe some veterans get traded or injuries pile up. And there's just not that much there if they're missing Love and Jetty and Hood. There's just not enough talent on the floor to generate consistently good looks.
Yeah.
And
it did.
So this is if you are so gung-ho to tank, this is probably what it's going to look like, gang.
Yeah. This is, as I said, it's an example of why Colin Sexton probably needs that shooting around him. I mean, Channing Frye didn't even play in the game. Like, this is a really tough position to put him in. And as you said, Indiana really does play that blitzing, really tough, in-your-face defense. Not that Boston can't be physical, but Marcus Smart obviously had a kind of a short night there after him and JR got into it, after Aaron Baines tried to Olynyk JR. which that was all a lot of fun. And at least Baines didn't get the, well, he's just a clumsy white guy defense that Olynyk got.
Yeah, it's because it doesn't take long to look at Aaron Baines and go, no, he was trying to hurt him.
Yeah. Is that like an Australian thing? Does he get kind of the same thing as Deli?
Man. Like, it's great. Like, I mean, like, have you ever watched the Australian national basketball team play? It's the dirtiest motherfuckers you'll ever watch. Like, just hip-checking everyone on every cut. It's just like, I remember that USA-Australia game from, I want to say, the last Olympics. It was in the qualifying rounds. And they were really bothering the U.S. because they're just playing really dirty. And the U.S. were just like, guys, we're here to, like, have a fun time. You know, do some networking.
Australians need to... They need to trade for that gritty mascot from the Philadelphia Flyers. I feel like that kind of embodies them. No team is more gritty than Australia.
And then Ben Simmons somehow, which is weird. Yeah. That was great though. I do think it's kind of weird. Like, I think we know Marcus Smart is actually tough.
Like, no, I know, but. Dude, I think that's JR just kind of laying the seeds when he's bringing up the flopping and saying, I don't know if he can actually come tough.
Flopping is definitely, like, I think that's where you just go to it. Is like, dude, you can't lead the league in flops. And,
yeah.
And act hard on the court. Like, you can't pretend to get hurt all the time.
I love, because Celtics fans were genuinely getting a little annoyed with the Cavs in the preseason, which is stupid to begin with because it's preseason and you can't really read into this too much. But I mean, my view of the team is a little different than yours because I didn't watch this bloodbath tonight. I'm going to watch tomorrow and I'm already thinking of how much I'll probably have to drink in order to actually watch it. But man, like the team is playing like a more free and open style of basketball when they actually have some of their horses with them. They play quicker.
It's so hard to tell with preseason though, you know, like
that's true. I mean, with David Blatt, they were running the Princeton offense in preseason.
I want to see them like come up against some you know, some rough patches to see if this style of play really holds up. I will say, you know, without Kevin Love out there, there is just no chance of half-court offense.
Right.
There are so many plays that end with having, you know, a couple actions, you know, like that aren't like, you know, it's not like they're just standing there, but when you don't have the talent to have any of those actions draw gravity and destabilize, like, I think, like, really the best way to talk about attacking a defense ultimately just comes down to destabilizing it. Like,
right.
And the Cavs are short on guys who can destabilize a defense. Like, the Cavs, most, like, they can run as many, like, flare screens as they want, like, for, like, you know, fucking JR with Nance, but ultimately, like, those are going, the defense is going to stay in their shell more often than not, and you really want to, you want to kind of break that up a little bit, and Love is one of the guys who can do that.
Are you saying that defenses aren't going to fall over themselves trying to stop a Rodney Hood dribble handoff?
Ultimately, no, Justin. I gotta say,
By the way, I have a bit of a hunch that Rodney Hood isn't going to get a payday that makes the Cavs worry about whether or not they should come out and try to match it or give him that kind of offer.
Well, yeah, there's no matching.
Well, I know. I'm saying if it's used as leverage kind of thing.
For sure. I don't know. You know me. I don't think he's going to be here next year. I do have an interesting conversation I wanted to have, and, you know, this preseason game was so short on, it was so short on takeaways, but one of the takeaways was that Kyle Korver can still be pretty fucking good. He scored 17 points in 20 minutes at 4 threes. You know, our colleague at Fear the Sword has a kind of a running thread, Mike Zavagno, where he kind of just will clip off when Korver gets a free bucket for his teammate because the other team was way over playing him.
Yeah.
I am of the opinion that that the Cavs should make it a priority to have Kyle Korver in their rotation. Your thoughts?
I agree. As long as he's on the team, because I think we all kind of, or we both agree that he's probably the first out of the veterans to get moved, just because there's always a need for Kyle Korver on your team. But while he's here, I think he should be in the rotation over JR. I think he just opens things up for them. And just having that energy out there, as you said, even if he's not the one getting the shot, the defense just always pays attention to him because he's a human flamethrower. Like he doesn't need a lot of room. He's constantly active. He's just one of those guys. Like Rip Hamilton back in the day used to make guys exhausted. Ray Allen used to make guys exhausted. Kyle Korver is the same thing. He'll run off those screens, and it fits within the motion offense that the Cavs want to run. And as you said, we need to see what happens when the team runs into regular season defenses and teams scout them. But the interesting thing with this Cavs team is they don't have a default mode to fall back on. Like, the default mode was always LeBron all of a sudden starts walking the ball up the court very slowly, and we're going to get some isolation baskets. They don't have a default. So when things get rough, I'm going to be really curious to see how things fall apart and what they try to go to in those situations, whether it's Kevin Love post-ups or whatever the case may be. I think it's going to be really interesting to see how this team handles adversity and what type of adjustments are made by Tyronn Lue.
Yeah, to that end, I think that's why you have to have Korver in the rotation. From the perspective of, listen, these half-court buckets are going to come pretty sparsely, and you need a guy who can get a shot off very quickly. You need a guy who will open up space for others on the court. And that doesn't mean spotting up. Like, Korver's space almost has its own version of gravity because of the way he runs around and is constantly darting around the court. You know, the Cavs are going to have a lot of guys that are going to get their buckets off cuts.
Right.
You know, whether it's Decker, whether it's Nance, whether it's Osman.
No, but you need spacing and movement to open up those cuts. If it's stagnant, you can't do that. And to your point, that's what Kyle Korver can bring.
Yeah, I think the Cavs are going to have to get those kind of, not cheap buckets, because it's not that they're not earning them, But that's going to be the way they generate easy looks in the half court is, you know, Korver, they run a split cut and the defense overcommits to Korver. So whoever's setting the screen gets an easy bucket, or Jetty sprints down the court in transition, draws a defender that otherwise wouldn't have had to pick him up, and they get a trailer three.
Right.
I think they're going to have to those don't look like effort plays because it's just like, oh, the defense messed up, but they are effort plays. And I think that's kind of where I see this. Now, the question then becomes, Justin, if Korver has to play and they're starting Hood and Osman at the two and three, respectively, who's your odd man out? Is it Nwaba? Is it JR?
It's JR. Feels like
JR is going to play.
So this is when it becomes a question of what would you do if you're running the team and what is Tyronn Lue going to do? Because it's tough when you have a veteran like JR that has given a lot to the franchise. Even with the way he slacked off, he seems to have actually came into camp this year in shape with the right attitude, and that makes it tough to bench him. I mean, my real answer is I would bench Sam Dekker. I would not have him in the rotation. I would rather play David Nwaba at the four. Like, I'd rather do almost anything other than see Sam Dekker play basketball. It's great that he put Jason Tatum on the floor. I love seeing the 12th man take down the 12-time All-Star. But realistically, him playing takes minutes away from somebody that should be in the rotation. And even JR, even last season's JR, probably deserves minutes over Sam Dekker. I don't care that he's had some moments in the preseason. I don't want him to be part of this rotation.
Yeah, I think ultimately, like, we're open to being wrong here, but I don't think we're wrong. I don't know if Sam Decker's an NBA player.
I'm very comfortable being loud wrong. Like, he's one of those guys that I feel like is going to float around as like a 13th man for a while, like a few more years here. But
on a bad team, he shouldn't be your ninth man.
Right, exactly. We can't read too much into preseason. He started the last two games, but even in the first game, he was the first guy in off the bench, and that was something that horrifies me.
Yeah, this kid's
going to
play, man. He's going to play. If you ask me what Lou was going to do, I think David Nwaba is out of the rotation to start the year.
I think that that's likely that's how it's going to start.
He's played with the third team more often than
not. I don't think it's going to last. I don't think it's going to last more than 10 games, but I agree with your assessment that that's how the year is going to start off.
It's tough, man. The backup four spot, you know, I think if there's anywhere where you can be critical of the Cavs in terms of their roster construction this year, that's one of them. But I'll say this, man. You know, I think it's easy to be critical, but the backup four all of a sudden is a really weird job to fill.
I mean,
there's a bunch of threes that kind of pretend to be fours, but that's what the
league essentially is now. Is that your small forwards are fours. Everyone basically plays a position up. And that's what a lot of teams have gone with addressing that position.
Any wing available for the minimum that can play up, which is really what you'd be looking for, is not very good.
Right.
So then your options are serviceable bigs that play the four that are four fives. And the Cavs are just chock full of four fives. They don't need Trevor Booker. You know, like these guys that are like better at their jobs than, say, Sam Dekker is. But it just feels like I've seen that sentiment floating around Twitter a little bit. It's like I can't believe the Cavs put themselves in a position to need to rely on Sam Dekker. And to some extent, I agree. But like, you know, I think we all dicked around on 2K this summer before the season started and like tried to build this new roster. And it's like not a lot of options on the free agent market.
And here's the other thing. The Cavs don't even have threes. Like, Jetty Osman and David Nwaba are likely shooting guards on a lot of other teams. They can play up. Like, Nwaba has the size and the wingspan to do it. Jetty,
The size.
I think he's fine playing small forward. But I think in a perfect world, he'd kind of be a really long two, although I don't know how he'd be able to stay in front of some of the smaller guards if you're going against like a CJ McCollum. But in general, you just don't have those threes that can play up to power forward. And to me, again, it comes back to if Sam Dekker is going to be playing minutes at the four, why don't you just play Larry Nance? What does Sam Dekker do that Larry Nance can't do at that position? He's going to cause even, like, I think Nance gives you better spacing as a four. Not much, but he at least is a better screen setter. He's someone that, his athleticism merits your attention. Cause otherwise, if you lose him, he's massive and he's athletic. He's going to catch backdoor opportunities. And with kind of the glut they have at center, where you'd like to get Ante Zizic some minutes, you'd maybe even like to play Channing Frye as a stretch five. I don't think they're going to go to Love at the five, but you got Tristan Thompson that's going to need minutes. Like, play Larry Nance there if you're going to play Dekker. And if you're not, play Noah. But
I'd almost rather just play Frye instead of Dekker in the rotation. But I just don't think we're going to win that fight, you know? Like, I think this team signed Channing Frye to be their fourth center. Mm-hmm. And
you're saying that Ty isn't listening to the podcast as he's driving into practice?
I don't know, man. I think we're pretty likable. And you know, I you can't rule it out.
Here's the other thing, Carter.
You literally cannot rule it out.
When teams aren't going to make adjustments when things are going well, and the Cavs did get their first lesson, so we should probably wait and hold off on judgment a little bit until they respond to this lesson.
Yeah, I that's fair. Plus, it doesn't matter. It's preseason. But, and that's like the thing. It's just, if you got to look for these trends that could become problems. And I do think Dekker's playing time so far has been a problem. It's like they trust him, and there's just been no real evidence to suggest that this guy's a competent NBA player so far in preseason and so far in his career.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just not there. It's just not there.
The team seems to like him, and it's a little baffling to me. But I'm
7 for 22 from the field, 2 for 8 from 3.
Hey, that's actually progress.
7 rebounds in 3 games. No assists. No blocks. What are we doing here?
Yeah, he's just not dynamic enough to really warrant consideration. Like, I think you can get
born in Sheboygan, Wisconsin. What a world.
Like, I think you can get away with a four. Like, I know we're in the pace and space era of the NBA, but I think you can get away with a four that isn't really a shooter if they're dynamic enough in other areas. And Sam Dekker just doesn't give you that.
Yeah. Yep. If he was just an absolute freak. Like, was it on the last podcast where I kind of made, like, the point that, like, he is not, like, athletic enough to play the archetype he's trying to play?
I don't listen to you when you talk.
If you're listening to this podcast, guys, it sounds like he's joking, but he really doesn't. I found out that he just laughs when I adopt the tone that I'm making a joke.
I'm really good at that. And also just, if I ever hear just dead air or whatever, I'll give a little chuckle or something like that. And then just bulldoze my way into whatever my next point is. But
Justin, man, is a really selfish lover. Let's just say that right now.
I truly am. And man, as much as I had talked about being ready for a new era with this team, and I really am, and I've been so excited about this season, if you would have told me about 3 or 4 months ago that we would have spent this much time, as the regular season is about a week away, talking about Sam Dekker, I might jump off my balcony.
You hate to see it. You just hate to see it. But this is rebuilding life, gang. Buckle up, Buttercups. We're back.
Oh, are the Cavs ever back? I don't know.
This is the reality, man.
I'm still of the opinion that this team could be surprisingly good if they decide to keep it together. I I'm confident with this team. I may end up eating my words. It wouldn't be the first time. It won't be the last. But I think this team is going to be more competent to start the season than a lot of people anticipate.
Well, Kevin Love's really good, so that should help. And we haven't seen him the last couple games, and offense certainly has missed him. But, you know, I think this, you know, there's a world in which they compete. I think they can compete, which is really all I ask for out of a bad team, mm-hmm. that they try and have at least make an effort.
In a way, and I know I don't want to beat the joke into the ground, but if there's one thing we've learned over the years is that the Cavs really don't learn from their mistakes and they don't learn a lot of lessons. So maybe Ty framing it in that way prevents them from ever really learning any lessons and taking any L's this season. Maybe that was the light years move by him.
There are worse theories out there. I will say this, with regards to the Cavs' long-term rebuild, I will be so goddamn stunned if Billy Preston ever plays a meaningful NBA minute.
That dude sucks. He
sucks so much, and I can't believe that Cavs Twitter hasn't at least tweeted a few oh man.
Well,
I'm so concerned with how shitty that guy is that I'm like, should they have even signed him to a two-way deal?
To be fair, that's the type of player that you take those gambles on.
Yeah, I respect the swing, but I would be stunned if it ends up working out.
I mean, here's the thing. He was always going to be raw, I think. And especially, you're talking about Indiana and Boston, even in preseason effort, what they can do defensively is dramatically different than what he has seen. I mean, he had a cup of coffee in Europe. He played
expression, by the way.
He hasn't really played at all. So I think he's the type of guy you keep in Canton. He wasn't going to play any meaningful minutes in this year. The biggest indictment you could possibly have for him is that he does not deserve minutes over Sam Decker. And I think that's all you really have to say about Billy Preston right now.
Yeah, he was doing that thing that bad basketball players do.
where he sucked?
Specifically, I think it was Sexton and Nance were trying to work a high pick and roll on the right wing. It was a wing pick and roll. And Preston was doing that thing where he kind of wanted the ball at the top of the arc. So he had his hands out, and they didn't want to give it to him. So he just kept backing up further and further.
Okay.
Just no, now I'm open. Now
Carter,
you can give it to
Carter,
me.
Carter, that's really hurtful because that is me at men's league basketball. So thank you. Thank you for that, because I'm coming to the realization that I should probably keep moving, but I'm lazy.
Selfish lover, selfish co-host, selfish teammate.
It's called the Dion Waiters, man. What more can you want?
It was just he kept backing up. It was now there's 10 feet between me and my defender. Can you pass it to me now?
Actually, even more damning. Even more so than Dion, that reminds me of IT, that one shot of IT and LeBron where LeBron's on the wing. And IT is basically at half with both of his arms up calling for the ball. That to me just summarizes the whole experience of him with the Cavs.
Yep. And we got a taller Isaiah. No, I can't even go that. I can't be that mean. But
Isaiah Taylor, I think he's a guy. So he's one of those fringe guys that might be making the team. And I think with the possibility of George Hill maybe getting moved this year and Jordan Clarkson not being a point guard, even though it says so on his ID. I think Isaiah Taylor is probably going to be the one that makes the team. Dude, I think I'd prefer Kobe Simmons personally, but what's kind of your guess on that? And this is peak preseason talk here.
Did you know that Isaiah Thomas's nickname, or I'm sorry, Isaiah Taylor's nickname is Worse Donald Sloan? Because that's his nickname to me. That guy sucks.
Yeah, he's
he can't shoot. He kind of can dribble, can kind of get to the bucket, can kind of pass, but not really any of those things. So, like, I just can't even worry about it. Like, you know, it's like with the Cavs, that the last 4 years, their 15th man mattered. Or at least, you know, it felt like it mattered. Like, okay, they might need to call on this guy. And, you know, in a pinch.
The Zubac role.
Yeah, to do something interesting. But for this team, I just can't get too worked. You know, if I'm going to be interested, it's going to be in guys like Billy Preston, even if I don't think he's very good right now and doesn't have much feel. Like, it's like, okay, like, what is the best case scenario for Isaiah Taylor? Like, I'm not saying don't sign him because it's not like they have a lot of other options, but it's like, is there a world in which he's ever, I guess, Jeremy Pargo sanity is our ceiling. I don't want to get to the point where they need that.
Do you think there's a chance that any Cavs player this year, because this happened the last time LeBron left, and the first year after he was gone, one of the players had season-ending freezer burn. Do you predict that there's going to be a Manny Harris on this team?
If Bonzi Colson finds his way onto the roster, that guy's going to have something weird happen to him.
I'm really looking forward to what the weirdest
story. Were you
a
Manny Harris stan? Because I was.
I was all in on Manny.
I loved Manny Harris, and I loved Torrence Kinsey. Those are my two gut dog shit Cavs wings that I always wanted to get more opportunities.
Were you a believer in J.J. Hickson?
No. Couldn't catch the ball.
Yeah.
You gotta be able to dunk with one hand.
When you're a lob threat in a pick and roll, you kind of have to catch the ball. That's
I mean, his hands were so small. It was alarming. I couldn't believe it. It was like... And, like, I just, like, I remember the one time I think he dunked with one hand once, and I think we all, like, thought that was, like, a flashbulb moment for him.
And remember when people wanted Anthony Bennett over Tristan Thompson because Anthony Bennett could dunk with one hand?
Yikes. Anthony Bennett, man.
I mean.
Poor fat loser.
Would you rather have Anthony Bennett or Andrew Wiggins at this point?
Wiggins, Justin.
But it comes with that contract. Bennett's easier to just
still
like...
Andrew Wiggins, Justin. Tweet that, though. That's funny. That's a mean poll. You should do it.
I saw that Wiggins, through like four games, his true shooting percentage in preseason is like 42 or something like that. It just... Poor guy. He's struggling more than the rest of
like
us.
Probably doesn't like basketball that much.
I mean, some players... Their contract, that's the finish line. Some have it as a starting point. And
Minnesota- I remember I used to work at my old job with a former NFL player. He made a couple Pro Bowls. And I once asked him while we were just like in the break room or whatever, I was like, how many people in the NFL don't really care? Like, are just doing it because it's a paycheck and like you'd be an idiot to turn down like an $800,000 job or $1 million job or $2 million job or whatever. And he goes, I'd say like 20%. He said like 1 in 5. Now this guy, you know, I think he was probably in that 20%, to be honest. But
is there a reason you're not disclosing his name? I mean,
yeah,
people can.
Just felt kind of poor form. But like honestly, like I've always kind of, that has always kind of stuck with me as like, Yeah. A lot of people just don't like them. You know, it's like, there's nothing crueler in the unit. Well, nothing. It's a cruel thing in the universe to make make someone really, really good at something and have them not care about that thing, you know?
I'm really glad you walked back. There's nothing crueler in
the
universe.
Nothing crueler. It's just a funny thing in life that, like, you know, like Andrew Wiggins, even if he's in... didn't end up being great, like, is so much better at basketball than almost everyone else on earth, and he probably just doesn't like it that much.
Yeah, no,
that's crazy.
That's fair.
That's unfair. I like the things I'm good at.
The other thing is there's so many guys that just have the natural talent where you need to get to the NBA stage before you realize, oh crap, I have to put in some work. Like Anthony Bennett would be an example of that. Like that guy never worked on his game. And he was just a freak athlete in college and was able to get by on that. But as soon as you are no longer kind of a standout athlete, even though you're fat. I love the Fat Mamba. Oh, good Dude, Lord. But
remember the, sorry just to play the member game, but remember that fucking horrifying sequence for Anthony Bennett, like when his spirit had been completely broken and he just like loafed over, walked over to like Jay, or walked over to, I think, Dion and like set the worst screen of all time. And he was literally just walked for an entire possession.
Mm-hmm. I remember that
made me sad, man. That actually kind of bummed me out. Like,
Anthony Bennett was the first player interview I ever did, like,
really?
In the locker room. Yeah, he wasn't even playing, and I had asked him in his rookie year, I was like, so you have been sitting out for a while. Is there anything now that you've kind of taken a step back from the game that you've been observing or thinking about how you may attack the game differently when you're in there? Just kind of like bringing up how, as a rookie, the game can be a little fast for some people. And he basically just kind of looked at me and I was like, no, not really. And like, he was pretty low energy throughout the whole thing. And I was just sitting there, I was like, oh man, that's not a great sign.
Sometimes in the rare, you know, like, I don't think either of us ever, you know, neither of us are beat guys. But with my old job in sports and, you know, having gone to a couple places, there are just a few people you meet and you just go, uh-oh, you shouldn't have your job. Like, you are not well suited for this.
You are not of the correct disposition for this in any way, shape, or form.
Yep.
And I'm sure there's a lot of listeners that are like, yeah, we listen to them a couple times a week. We're listening to them right now.
But, yeah, it's a thing, though. By the way, did you name drop at all when you talked to Anthony Bennett that you're from Canada? Did you like say against or something like that sell to him where you were from?
I did mention that I had came in from Canada for this, and that was the only time that he actually got a little excited and he dapped me up, and I was like, I was pumped. Actually, I made an ass of myself too. David Zavak, if he ever listened to this, he would laugh at it too. To talk to Bennett, I sat down in the locker next to him, which was Anderson Varejao's, and midway through the interview, I realized I probably shouldn't be sitting in Andy's chair right now.
Was David there?
Yeah, David was standing right next to me. He was standing up. Surprisingly, if he was making a face at me, I didn't notice.
Did he talk to you about it at all?
No, he didn't bring that up at all.
Oh, man, we got to get him on the pod to talk about this, because that is hilarious. It's funny, like, the little unwritten rules of, like, locker rooms and events. Like, we were doing our, I work for Blizzard Entertainment and Activision Blizzard in esports, and we were doing our Call of Duty championships at Nationwide Arena. And the one of our front of house graphics guys, I look over and he's just taking a picture of his credential.
Oh my god, that's
and I'm like, what are you doing? And he's like, oh, I'm just gonna post this on Twitter. I'm like, dude, you will be kicked out and never invited back if you do that.
Yeah, that's not really too kosher.
People will be able to duplicate that and do whatever they want here if you do that. He's like, Oh yeah, I guess that makes sense.
Man, I'm honestly getting pretty excited. But
I
get it.
I remember I once took a picture of a credential, like the first time I ever went to a game, because you're like, oh, I made it. I'm in the big time. But you find out they'll pull your credential if they ever catch you.
I think the only time I ever did was when I covered the Grey Cup when I was in Winnipeg. I took like a picture of it. I think I only put it on like Snapchat or something like that. But I realized that was going to be the only time I'd ever attend a CFL game as press. So I was like, you know, that's I'm going to leave it at that. But
Justin's still banned from the building.
That was actually such a scumbag thing, because I had, with our season tickets, they actually gave us a, because it was hosted in Winnipeg, they gave us those tickets for free, along with the season tickets. Or no, they weren't for free, but they were a discount. And I ended up selling my ticket and then going to the game with my press pass, which was, as I said, pretty scummy behavior. But we've gone completely off the rails. This is prime season, preseason talk. Carter this week is going to be doing, if you listened to us last year, his over-unders gambling podcast. Sell it a little bit, Carter. Sell it for the people.
Yeah, so I'll be inviting my good friend Nate Jacobson on. He runs a little gambling website called The Sharpest Squares. He is far and away the most passionate and well-researched sports gambler I know. He won the World Series of Handicapping, which is an NFL handicapping contest a couple years ago. And he just loves gambling, and he really does his homework. So we'll be having him on, just me and him. We'll be running through our favorite over-under bets, but we'll also be diving into some fun props, spots for getting good value. And it's always a lot of fun. So tune in for that. A little change of pace midweek. And yeah, we'll be breaking down. It'll kind of function as our gambling season preview, where you'll get to see what kind of degenerates Nate and I are.
I'm excited to listen to that. That is very far from my area of expertise, so I will bow out for that. But we will be back next week as well, the two of us, to give our real season preview. Excited for things to kick off against the Raptors on Wednesday. Probably trying to get one of those guys on, because I love the Raptors media guys. They're always a fun time. So we'll be sure to cover that. As Carter alluded to earlier in the podcast, if you want to support the show, you can leave us a review. And while you're at it, if you want to be part of our Discord chat, send a screenshot of that review to chasedownpod@gmail.com. And we'd be more than happy to send you an invite to the Discord. We're already having a lot of fun in there. It's a pretty good community. Chance to talk about the Cavs in a very Cavs-friendly forum. So thanks to Carter. Thanks to our listeners. The support you guys have been giving us lately has been really, really appreciated. And with this being Thanksgiving, there's not a better opportunity for me to express that. So thanks to you guys. And until next time.